This is where it happens. So I was gathering out that song as Sis was singing right here. This is where it happens at. And you know, to make a commitment when we're coming in, that Lord, I understand right here, this is where it's going to happen. You know, if you don't expect anything to happen, you probably normally didn't put forth a lot of effort that would cause anything to happen. Amen. But when you expect it to happen, when you're looking forward to it happening, I may have told this before here, but as a young man, I played football when I was young. And they had a sign going out of our field house in my high school. It said something along the lines of, you've got 48 minutes to play and a lifetime to remember. What they were saying was, it's fixing to happen. And it's up to you what you put in. When you come back through that door tonight in just a couple of hours, will you be able to say when you look at that sign, I put it all that I had when I had the chance? And, you know, and those days have come and gone. And but then I think about my life lived for the Lord. I've got it at best sometimes 65, 75, 80 years to live. But we'll have an eternity to remember. Did I put it all on the line? Amen. Did I give everything I had for God to be able to work in our life? You know, He's not partial to anybody. It's whosoever will. Let him come. Amen. He wants us all to be full. He wants us all. You know, He wants us to enjoy. And I'll never believe that anybody's supposed to have to live under their privilege as a child of God. Everybody don't possess the same things. But this inward man can be rich, irregardless of what this outward man faces. And man, we're excited to be here. And just looking forward to the Lord helping us. We've already been spoiled. And I made mention, man, of my pawpaw. Now, he's still running in glory. And he's gone. But he was one of the ones from that, what we would call that old school group. If you weren't sacrificing, you wasn't doing much. You know, he was the kind that he was more so you'd probably need to sleep in the car, eat once a day, all this kind of stuff. He come from when they didn't have a choice but do that, when they were out working for the Lord, maybe, and sleep on benches on mission trips and all of this. So anybody else, we were spoiled. And but we do appreciate it. Man, before we ever got in the pulpit to preach, we've done already been looked after so good. We're very thankful, and my children excited to be back, and me and my wife are just glad to be here, and want the Lord to help us. Amen. I'm not fancy. I told the church last week, we're in revival last week. We'll be here this week. We got a revival next week, closer to home, but I'm not fancy. Amen. If you're looking to be overwhelmed by knowledge, you may have should have Googled another revival. But I will tell you this, I'll put it on the line. I'll do my best, amen, to try to help you and to be an encouragement to you. So thank you for everybody that's here. Correspondence we've had since last year through social media, just friends that we made through that, mail that we've got. I hadn't forgotten it. Thank you. You know who you are, and thank you. And just encouraging words. Man, it just gripped my heart, and I'm very appreciative of it. So let's get in. Amen. Let's don't let it be the preacher's fault if we don't get a blessing this week. Let's dig in. Let's lay it on the line. Lord, we've scheduled 5 nights. I'm fixing to put it on the line. Amen. I'm leaving here with something this week that I need. You know, I may not know what you need. I may get to preaching tonight and walk right down your road. I may not even walk through your town. But that doesn't mean you can't get something from the Lord if you desire it tonight. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be back. And we just want the Lord to help us tonight. Psalm chapter 3. The book of Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. My little boy, he's wanting me to hurry and preach. Amen. Before we ever got in here, his only desire was, can we go play on that little castle? And I asked him when he come in something about the Lord. He said, no, he just want to go play. That's all he cared to do. So, amen. He'd probably be glad if I preach short tonight. Let's read the third psalm here tonight. Amen. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake. That almost looks like it's out of place, doesn't it? I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. I want to preach with the Lord to help me tonight. And I'm going to reference several of these places we went through just then. But in verse 5, David said, I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. Amen. If I had a title this first night, it's what I want to preach. What it means to be kept. Amen. What it means to be kept. And looking at this, and I know that if you've got your Bible tonight, you know when we said the reading out of Psalm chapter 3, just above it, it tells you that this is David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Amen. He's running. And he's on the move. And I've thought about this thing of dealing with this particular chapter of David running, knowing David is not a coward. David was a mighty, mighty, mighty man. The bloody man. He's a warrior. Amen. Well, as far as I know, he's undefeated in battle. We know he had some hiccups. He had some shortcomings. Never change a fact. He's God's man. Amen. But looking at this and thinking about it, to think that of a man that's already whipped a lion, he's already whipped a bear, he's already whipped the enemy's greatest warrior, and to wonder why that pretty boy son of his has got him on the run. And my own self now, and it, you know, that doesn't mean it's law just because I think it, but it is my thought that I don't believe for a minute that David's scared of Absalom because of what he's already done and who he done it by. For he lets us know it's by his God. Amen. The things that the Lord had done for him. But I really believe what David's dealing with, I think he's running not because he's scared Absalom's going to kill him. I believe he's running because he's scared he's going to have to kill Absalom. And he don't want Absalom to have to die. For you know when Absalom does die, David cried with that. You can almost hear him mourn. Absalom. Oh, Absalom. He even makes the statement that he wished it would have been him that had died instead of Absalom. And so I really believe that knowing David knew, Absalom only thinks he's a warrior. He only thinks that he's powerful. He only thinks he has authority. But David knew in times of need, I know what's going to happen, that God's going to sustain me, God's going to keep me, God's going to help me. That when it came to battle, I believe he hears that lion roar when he's going down the road and he knows this will be no different than any other battle that I've ever fought. Amen. And so I believe sometimes that you and I, we make certain decisions sometimes in how we handle what we go through, not always based on the fear that it's going to hurt me, but sometimes we ponder what will it cost others. What will my decisions mean for other people, not just what will they mean for me? What we're saying is I'm not worried about if I can make it or not, but I want to make sure that in this battle somebody else don't go. You know, you don't want to drag somebody into something that would be a detriment to them. But David's dealing with this. And on top of that, that he says, Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? In other words, why is everybody against me? Why am I the one that looks like being singled out? Why am I? I'm a man after God's own heart. Why am I the one that's having to make the decisions I'm having to make? Amen. Why am I the one that's singled out in front of everybody? And he said, many are they that rise up against me. You know, in other words, I've done what I felt like I need to do. I pray. I'm attending revival. I'm here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting. I come to revival. Then how in the world with all of that happening, am I the one that's dealing with what I'm dealing with? Why am I going through what I'm going through? You know, Asaph had some trouble with this same type thing in Psalm 73. He couldn't understand it. We even went so far as to say when he tried to know it, it was too much for him. In other words, it overwhelms me to think how, you know, I know there people have to go through battles. But why am I the one going through the battle? Now, I know we sometimes can feel like we would never confess to it. You know, we were so holy, we'd never tell anybody we're going through a battle. But the truth of the matter is, every one of us tonight, if we'd be honest with ourselves, had had the thought, man, why is this happening? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I facing what I'm facing? I can tell you it wasn't so much of what David had done to Absalom. It's what Absalom's doing to David. Absalom's the one with a problem. Absalom's the one that's got the issue, but David's the one that's having to fight the fight. And David's the one that's having to endure the problem. Listen, if you live for God for just a little bit, that is from the time you get up from the altar to you can get back to your car, you've got an adversary that sets out to try to destroy you. It doesn't take 40 years to form an enemy. It took a confession to get him on my bad side. It took a confession to Christ to get the enemy on my bad side. But then he goes on further than that. He said, they're increased that trouble me. Many of them rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. I know a lot of people's got all kind of meanings of what that means. But one place said maybe a pause. Or like might say, where we come from. Hang on just a minute. In other words, David, when he recognizes everybody's watching, everybody's wondering, and he begins to ponder on it and think on it. Well, sometimes that's the worst thing in the world for you to do. That's the worst thing in the world a person can do is try to reason in their own mind. Why is this happening? And why am I going through what I'm going through? But I want you to notice what begins to happen to David. He understands I've got an adversary. He understands I've got something that's trying to destroy me. He understands there's an enemy against my soul. And as he begins to ponder that, you know, it's easy to think sometime when you begin to dwell on that, well, Lord, am I going to make it? Am I going to be able to get through this? Am I going to be strong enough to endure what I'm going through? But David don't say, I think I can do it, Lord. David don't say, I think I'm going to be strong enough to make it through this battle irregardless. But David, instead of thinking about is he strong enough to make it, he says, but thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me. In other words, Lord, there's a lot of people against me. There's a lot of things that are not favorable in my direction, but thou, oh Lord. Amen. In other words, I'm not even brave enough to put myself on the front line. I'm not brave enough to try to lift myself up in this battle. You know, some folks for pride's sake would never confess I don't have ability to fight this. They'd never confess for pride's sake that I don't have the means by which to fight this battle. We're scared somebody's going to say they're backsliding. Scared somebody's going to say they're weary in their journey with God. I'm not weary in my journey at all, but I do got sense enough to know there's some battles bigger than I am. There's some things I'm not able to handle, but I'm glad that I've got a confidence in a God that David said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the one that's my glory. My glory don't come in my name. My glory don't come in who I am, but it comes from you, O Lord. And he says, and the lifter up of mine head. In other words, I'm down. Don't think for a minute that David's rejoicing that, man, this is a great life. Amen. I think in just earlier there, and maybe in the day, today when we were up and about, you know, or sometime this evening, man, it's just a blessed life. Amen. You can't hardly beat this way of living, the way, especially this week. Now back home, it feels like most time life's got us about this deep, and it's just hard to get everything like it's supposed to be. But this week, just to be with my family morning and night, go to church at night, and getting ready through the day to go back to church again, man, you can't hardly beat that. That's a good life. And with that being said, I'm so thankful for it. Amen. But irregardless, if I go to church every night of the week, irregardless if things always are going my way, amen, there's days I get down. There's days I get discouraged. There's days I feel like, man, that in me, instead of having the world by the tail, that the world's got me by the tail and just ain't going my way. But David said, but Lord, you're the lifter up of my head. In other words, you're the one that's going to keep me through it all. At the end of the day, you're the sustainer. At the end of the day, it won't be because my willpower was great. It won't be because my prayer was great. It won't be because I had the right answer to every problem. It'll just be because you're God. Amen. That's the only way that things are going to turn out. It's just simply because you're God and you are the lifter up of my head. Amen. So David's on the run, but David understands where he's putting his trust at. I believe what he's saying is this: Lord, I'm on the run and I'm putting it all in your hands. I'm laying it all in your possession. I'm not going to try to fumble with it. I'm not going to try to interject my opinion to it. I understand it's greater than I am, and I understand that you're greater than it is. So I'm submitting this storm. I'm submitting this setback. I'm submitting this trouble I've got. I'm giving it all to you, because I know you're the only one that's going to be able to keep me through it all. Amen. I'm preaching now what it means to be kept. And this is what he says. I cried unto the Lord. That's why a lot of people never get out. Why a lot of people never overcome. Because it's so hard to come from where you are to where I am, to tell him it's bigger than I am. It's more than I can handle. Amen. You know, you don't got to come up here with great swelling words. You don't got to stand up and tell the church anything. You know, we've made it so hard to get help in the hour that we live in. We say, well, I don't want people to think that I'm backing up. I don't want people to think that I've gotten weak. I don't want people to think that I'm not as dedicated as I used to be. You know, I have trouble with that person that's thinking that. I don't got no problem with the man that's crying on the altar. I have no problem with the woman that's up here crying in the altar. It doesn't bother me a bit if you cry through a whole box of Kleenex. It don't bother me a bit if you get up and your eyes are red and you know, and your face is all blushed and your cheeks are red from crying. I think more of that crying eye than I do the dry eye that's not willing to cry. Amen. I think something's great about that individual that says, hey, I got to let him know I'm dealing with something that's bigger than I am. I'm dealing with something that's greater than I am. I remember last year some crying eyes in these altars and in this building. Hey, I hadn't forgot about it. I know it's some days that passed on the calendar. I know that I preached a lot of times since I left here last year, but I hadn't forgot some of you. I still remember you digging in prayer. I still remember you crying in the altar and in your benches last year. What is that saying to me? Ain't something to be said about something that'll say, or someone that'll say, Lord, it's bigger than I am. It's greater than I am. I don't care what pastor thinks. I don't care what the evangelists say. I gotta have a touch from God, and God's opened up 5 nights of revival. Why don't we commit this week? I know I'm being kept by the power. I know I'm being kept by the Lord. But I want him to know I need him to help me. I need him to know I want him to answer my prayer. I need him to move in a situation. And this is the place where it's going to happen at. But I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And the best part about it all, he heard me. Now, I know we think the answer's the best part. That's just the icing on the cake. Just knowing he hears me. It means something to me. Knowing he's listening to me, it means something to me. You know, one place the psalmist said he inclined to me. Another, I preached one time on when he leaned in to listen. Amen. When he listened to me. You know, you ever remember growing up? And I've said it, and I don't want to be too comical this week or tonight, but there's times my children get to calling my name, Daddy. Daddy, hey, Daddy. Hey, Daddy. I'm not talking about they do that many times in a day. They may do it that many times in a minute. Amen. Daddy, Daddy. What they gonna do? They gonna keep saying it until why? Until I say, yes, baby, what in the world do you need? Or what in the world do you want? Amen. But I know sometimes it's just, you know, they just calling my name. They might want me to bring them something to drink. My mind is they can get up and go get a drink themselves. Amen. But you know what, Pastor, every now and then, and I told this last week in revival, not this scripture maybe, on this story, but I may have read this, but either way, well, every now them, they'll make that little guy, that littlest one of them all back there. Well, I got one boy and three big sisters, so sometimes things he has to find a way to get things to happen a little different way than what everybody else would. He's the littlest, he's the youngest, you know, he might be the weakest of them at this point. And but so every now and then, when he's not able to whip them under his own might, he find a stick. He might not confess fight. I mean, not can beat him in arm wrestling, but he does know how to swing a stick. And you know what I'll hear? I won't hear him asking for help. But you might hear, Daddy, Mama, get Lincoln. Amen. Get Lincoln, they might say. You know why? Because they under. And then in that moment, I know I better not wait on them to ask me again. I might not better wait for three or four more daddies or three or more four mamas. It's in the way that voice cries my name. When it's Daddy, I know they don't really got to have me to meet the need. When it's Mama, come here. They really don't got to have me. But when they change the volume and they change the way in which they cry, it's them that I know. Somebody's fixing it. If they ain't already in trouble, they're about to be in trouble. What that high-pitched cry for Daddy means is he's got a stick, or he's got a belt, or he may take his plastic Nerf gun and use it as a sword. You never know. Amen. But what they're saying is we've got to have somebody to intercede. We've got to have somebody to come to our rescue. Listen to me tonight. We're not come this week to this revival. I didn't come from Georgia to Virginia to just say, God, what you think about coming by this week? What you think about maybe if you ain't too busy just meeting us a night or two this week? Not on your life. But I would we'd make up our mind. Our Heavenly Father, we got problems we need you to help us with. We got prayers that need to be answered. We got families that are lost and undone without God. This isn't just a nonchalant request, Lord. We're coming to the altar with a heart. We're coming to the altar with tears in our eye, crying out unto the Lord with the very thought, you're going to hear me when I cry. So he heard me. You know, they don't have to have me grab him for them to feel good. When I come in the room, they feel better about the situation because they know them. When I'm standing there, he's not as apt to attack one of them. When I'm standing there, he's not as apt to carry out what he was fixing to do. Can I tell you, our Heavenly Father ain't no different. Amen. There's something about him walking in the room. You know, there was a song that said, when he walks into the room, everything changes. Amen. In other words, that enemy knows when my Savior walks into the room. He's no different than when I walk in the room with my children. When that enemy sees Jesus walk into the room, suddenly his mindset changes. The way that he attacks changes. You know why? Because he knows the one that's been keeping them's here. The one that's held them in his hands is here. The one that keeps them in the high places and the low places is here now. And David said, he heard me out of his holy hill. Amen. In other words, there was a confidence in Noah. When I cried out to God, amen. Hey, he ain't going to hear none of the cries you don't make. He don't hear none of the cries that you won't reach out to him with. You said, I got a lot of problems. He ain't going to help you with none of them you don't ask help for. Oh, amen. We riding along on the way up here. Well, you know it or not, it's a long way. If you ain't ever came to where we are, it's a long way. Amen. And the thing in my mind thinking is, you know what? Just as long as it took me to get here, it's going to take just as long when I have to go back home. But listen, we coming along up that road. If they don't ever tell me, Daddy, we need to stop. Daddy, I need to stop. I need a few minutes. Or, Daddy, we're hungry. Daddy, we're thirsty. Now, sometimes I've been to the place where I, you know, you'd wonder just how many times you're going to have to stop. But this trip yesterday, they were amazing. They didn't have to stop. We just a few times they stopped all the way from Georgia to here. Amen. And so much my wife and myself, we talked about it a little bit about their travels. But what I'm saying is this. They could be back there feeling like they're going to perish, Pastor. Amen. But if they don't tell me, Mom or Daddy, can we get something to eat? Amen. Could we just get a snack? Can we stop and get something to drink? Could we stop and just take just a small break to get out of the car? If they don't ever say anything, I might not. I know the Lord's a little goes further thinking than a mom and a daddy does. And I understand that part. But it's still sometimes necessary for you and I to let him know I am bought by the blood. I am forgiven of sin. But I'm heavy laden. My struggles have got me weary. My problems have got me weary. I need you to reach down and to help me. Man, I got to hurry. Amen. And so he says he heard me out of his holy hill. So the same David that stepped back and took a break when he recognized all was against him is the same David that stood back with Selah at the end of that verse. And he also, not only did he take a break to look at what all was against him, but he took a break and looked back at all that God that was going to answer his prayer. Amen. Listen, sometimes you look at all the problems in your life. Sometimes you need to stop and look around at all the God that you got in your life and all the help that you got in your life. Because the same man sometimes that looks around at the problem, he forgets to look around at how great God is and how faithful God is and how good God is. Is in our life. Amen. But what I said earlier looked so out of place. He's got problems. People's waiting on him to fail. He's crying to God for help. And then the next verse said, I just laid down and went to sleep. You ever tried to sleep when your mind was troubled? You ever tried to just take a nap when life was running you ragged? You ever laid in a bed at night and stared at your ceiling? Yeah. If you've lived very long, you have. And wondered, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with that? What decision do I need to make? Hey, I'm not always talking about wrong. Sometimes it's a business decision. Sometimes it's a church decision. Sometimes it's a family decision. Sometimes it's wondering, do we buy or sell it? Do I need to hang on to it or let it go? Just life in itself sometimes causes you and I to look at the ceiling and then to wonder, how am I going to handle this and what direction do I need to go? But when the intensity comes from the heat of the enemy and it feels like I don't know how I'm going to do this, I'm crying out to God. I'm asking him, what do I need to do? You say, well, how in the world did David drift off to sleep? It wasn't because he had it figured out. It wasn't because he knew the answer to every problem. It's because he had a faith in a God that he knew he's going to hold on to me no matter what. Amen. You say, what are you saying to us tonight, preacher? You ought to be able to rest in the very fact of knowing I'm God's and God's mine. Amen. What was it that Solomon said? I am my beloved and he is mine. Amen. I belong to him and he belongs to me. I don't got a lot of faith in how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to sleep based on the faith that I've got that he's going to handle it. And if he handles it, it'll be handled right. And that's the only hope we have a lot of times, is being kept. So David not resting on himself. He's resting on the Lord. Listen, we first to be kept have got to have confidence in the keeper. I went a little while back. My employer's got a boat that can get out there in that big water. And they sometimes go down and go scalloping. I said, no, got no need to do that. They go 3 or 4 hours down into Florida to do it. I said, man, I don't live about an hour and a half from the beach. If I want to catch seashells, I just ride over here to Jekyll Island. I don't got to go way down there. But this is what there's more to it than that. It's getting out in that water. You know, when I went, I finally, with multiple trips, they'd go, I said, I don't got no need to be down there. The water's about this deep. And I told them, I said, you know how big of a shark can swim in that big of water? Pretty big shark swimming that depth of water. And big enough one that you can tell it wouldn't take long and all this wouldn't be around no more. But I finally went. I was a little nervous about it. I'm going to tell you no story. I can walk in the dark, no matter what, deer hunting and all these kind of things. I just walk in the dark with hardly even any kind of light. Just walk, go, do whatever I want to do. Don't bother me. There's something about that water. Isn't that sometimes how, a lot of times, how it is in our walk with the Lord? The things I ain't scared of, I don't have to battle them a lot. The things that I think I can handle, I don't have to battle them a lot. It's that thing that I'm nervous about that keeps knocking on my door. It's that thing that I have a hard time handling. It's the same thing that I have to handle over and over and over. But you know, you have to get that, you know, you get out there in some of that water and you put it on a life jacket maybe if you think you're going to get a little bit too deep, and they put on that snorkel mask and that tube that goes up. And you know, and I'd never done it before, for I was a little bit nervous about it. So what I'm saying, making a point about that keeper is I had to get to the place that I had confidence that when my face goes under that water, I can't hold my breath the whole time we're here. Amen. I had to put faith in, if I'll breathe, that tube will promise me it'll bring me air from above this water, and it'll bring me air from this place that I'm dealing at. You know what some of you going to have to finally do is to let go and finally put your faith in a God that can keep you. Quit fighting the storm. Quit fighting the situation. Quit fighting the circumstance you're going through, and breathe and understand. You mean I can breathe in the midst of a storm? I can worship in the midst of a storm. Hey, a trial don't mean you don't get to feel God anymore. A trial don't mean you can't feel the Holy Ghost anymore. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to put your faith in that keeper, in that snorkel tube, in that life jacket. And no, listen, I'm not the best of swimmer. So we go out in that boat, and it's 100 foot deep. Them boys are jumping out in that water. I said, I'm not jumping out in that water. Can't swim good. I'm going to use some good sense. Why would I want to sink to the bottom of this ocean? I don't. So don't jump out the boat. But then them little children be this big. Jumping out in that water. You know why? They don't life jacket. You know, I'm 45. I'm not going to put on all these floaties and jump in this water just so y'all can see me jump in the water. I'll stay right here on this boat. I'll take y'all's picture if you want me to. But that child, that little bitty kid, no thought, jump off in that 100 foot of water with that life jacket. You know what they're saying? I trust it. I got hope in this thing. It's going to keep me. It's going to keep me from going down there. It's going to help me from going down there. You know what some of us are? We still have yet got that mentality like that child does. Lord, you've given me something that'll keep me. You put something in my life that'll hold on to me. I know that might be a simple illustration, but y'all, that's where we are with God. He's put something with you and I that'll hang on to us. It'll keep us. David said, I'm being kept. I'm being held. I'm being, you know, protected. And all through the Bible, we go through this where David said, I laid me down to sleep. I'll wait for the Lord to sustain me. In other words, the Lord kept me through the night. The Lord protected me when I couldn't protect myself. He held on to me when nothing else could hold on to me. Amen. And I thought of different times through the Bible where this thing held true. Paul's on a ship. They say all hope that we should be saved had then been taken away. But Paul says, be of good cheer. Amen. Why? Not because Paul's a man of any great power, but he said the angel angel of the Lord had stood by me. Everything's going to be all right. The keeper let me know we're going to make it. The keeper let me know we're going to survive it. Daniel in a den of lions. He said, live on, O king. For he sent the angel and he shut the lions. What is he saying? The keeper kept me. The keeper kept Paul in the storm. The keeper kept Daniel in the lion's den. The keeper kept Peter in a prison. And the keeper's going to keep you and I, whether it be in depression, whether it be in oppression, whether it be in sickness or sorrow, the keeper remains the same. Circumstances change, but the keeper remains the same. Hey man, I thought of one of our redback hymnals that started off that there's a deep, settled peace abiding in my soul since I have found that friend divine. Amen. In other words, what is my peace? It ain't my affiliation. It ain't my membership. It ain't my intellect. But it's that friend that I found that sticketh closer than a brother, closer than my spouse, closer than my best of friend, closer than the people that we fellowship with. That deep settled peace comes from him. You remember when the servant came in, that Syrian army had surrounded that mountain, ran into Elisha and says, alas, master, what shall we do? I don't know how to handle this. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And Elisha never even blinks, never even hesitates with a response. You know why? He knew what it was like to be kept. He knew what it was like to be protected. And Elisha says, more there be for us than there be for them. Amen. We're being kept by the power. Amen. Kept by the Spirit. Jesus himself said, and I'm not going to be much longer. Jesus said in John 17, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. In other words, don't bring them out of every problem. Don't make every time they cry, take them out of it. Don't make it every time they skin their knee that you have to pet them through it. Amen. He said, don't take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I looked up that word keep in John 17 and 15. It said to guard a fortress or full military lines, amen, apparatus. In other words, I'm not going to take you away from every obstacle you go through, but you won't ever go through an obstacle that I'm not a part of and that I'm not with you while you walk through it. No wonder David, and I may preach about the 23rd Psalm later on this week, but no wonder David could say that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I'll fear no evil. Through. He didn't say that he got me out of the valley of the shadow. He made me walk through it. Our keeper could bring us out of it immediately. You know the worst thing you can do? Y'all know this. A crying baby. What's the wrong thing to do for them? Every time they cry to what? Pick them up. Now, you know, I've fathered four. I'm 45, but say some things I do know. And at the same time, I've been guilty. I don't want them to cry. But you know, sometimes it's good. That little boy of mine ought to crash because he's a little, can be a little reckless. And that's all right. He's a boy. I like it. He might crash on the bicycle. He might fall and skin a knee or an arm. And I'll tell him, you all right? Come on here. You okay? You all right? His mama? Oh, yeah. Come on here and all this kind of stuff. I say, don't do that. But you know what? We both right. She won't let baby cry. I want him to be tough as a nail. But we both doing what we feel needs to be done in the moment. But sometimes, God, we skin our knee. And we're wondering, why didn't he pick me up? Why didn't he brush my knees? Why ain't he petting me like I want to be petted? Because he knows. I want you to go through this, not come from this. Amen? Anything you ever go through, you look back at it and know, that wasn't big enough to stop me from what God wanted me to be. If every time I cried and said, I can't do it anymore, God, he picked me up out of it, the devil tormented me my whole experience. He's never kept you able to make it through anything. You've never made it through a storm. You've never made it through a setback. You've never made it through an attack. But how many times have we asked him, we want out, I want out, I want out, I want out. David said he didn't get me out, but we walked through that valley together. Thou art with me. In other words, Lord, you made me go through it, but you went through it with me. Hey, there's more to be said about being kept through it than it is having to be brought out of it. Amen. I'd lot rather somebody stand up and say, man, I'm so wore out, I went through a struggle, but I finally claimed victory at the end of it, than to say, I don't know, I've never known what it was like to make it all the way through. That person that never makes it all the way through is that same person that quits continuously. Amen. If somebody wants to come and get ready to play, I'm fixing to quit. But the old song, I believe it was Mr. Lister that wrote the song. First verse said, in the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face? That's a familiar song, ain't it? Hey, amen. Let me read a little of it to you. While the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, listen what he says, hear my cry. But he don't say, get me out of this problem. He says, keep me safe until the storm passes by. Amen. Goes on down in that second verse, and this is where some of us may be tonight. Many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try. Amen. For there's no end in sorrow. Your problems is the same as it was last year, the devil would say something. There's no hope by and by. But I know that thou art with me. And tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Amen. Then he says, till the let's stand, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Listen, hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thine hand. But Lord, keep me safe. I would this week that'd be our prayer, Lord. There's a side of me that wants the storm just to end right now. I want to be out of it. I want to be done with it. I'm tired of crying about it. But let's channel that side of us that says, Lord, as Jesus did in the garden, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. In other words, if I can get out of this, it'd be preferable. But one of the greatest words that we'll ever read, nevertheless, thy will. You said, man, I'll pray that tonight. You be careful. You better mean it when you do. That nevertheless goes from getting an easy way out to having to just grind myself the rest of the way through. Amen. But listen, folks, we got a keeper. We got a Savior that'll hold me in the storm. Thank God that he's got the power to end the storm. It blowed their mind. What manner of man is this? But I'm going to tell you what I like. Is a man that liked to drown it in a storm just trying to get to Jesus, Peter. It'd been wonderful if he'd have said, whoa, storm, he's about to drown, and picked him up. He didn't, y'all. He didn't stop that storm till they got back to the boat. You say, what do you think happened, preacher? I can't prove it, but I ain't found nobody could prove it wrong. I have to believe that they walked back to that boat in that storm. I don't think he pit-toted him like a baby. You know what I like to think? Instead of stopping that storm because Peter couldn't handle it, I like to think, not for Jesus' sake. They done know he can tell it to stop if he wants to. But for Peter's sake, I want you to walk on that water while it's lightning. I want you to walk on water while the wind's blowing. I want you to rejoice right in the face of adversity. without me removing the adversity. Some of us is going to come out the storm. But why don't we just let God know, I'm willing to praise you while I'm in this storm. I'm willing to worship you while I'm in this storm. I'm willing to stay faithful to you while I'm in this storm. Don't barter with God. I won't ever miss church again if you'll help me out. No, no. God don't need that kind of commitment. God needs a commitment that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If he never speaks peace to the storm, I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, that's how Job got it multiplied, wouldn't it? It wasn't getting out the storm. It was staying faithful through the storm. But this is what he said. My Redeemer. I don't know about y'all's friends. I don't know what y'all faith in. But he said, my Redeemer liveth. And though he slay me, I think I'll just lift my hands anyway. I think I'll just say hallelujah when hallelujah ain't 100 miles in sight. I think I'll tell him to love me when I feel like I've been forsaken by everything. You know, I'm telling you, he'll keep us safe till the storm passes by. Could we meet in the altar tonight? As many of you as can and will. Let's spend some time in prayer with the keeper. With the one that'll sustain you. With the one that'll protect you. Lord, I'm not asking you to end it. I'm just asking you to keep me safe till this storm passes by. Let's pray. Many as will tonight, let's pray.